Happy New Year! At this time of the year, many reflect on the past year, where we are, where God wants us to be, and plan to make changes to help us move closer to the mark God has set for us. This year, ask God to examine you, show you where you need to change, and help you make those changes. With God's help, this year can be your best year ever.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Longworth.
I would say to you, Merry Christmas. I'm starting to read today in Luke, the first chapter, beginning in the 26th verse. And I'll be reading through the 38th verse with this passage. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph and of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. This is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord, let it be according to your word." And the angel departed from her. I am convinced that at the moment that her faith took hold and she stated out loud to the angel, "Be it according to your word," that was the moment that I believe that Mary was impregnated, or the moment that she conceived and began to carry the Christ child. So then the angel departed from her, and it came to pass in those days, this is in Luke, the second chapter, verses 1 through 7, it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar. And of course, there's been a 9-month gap between what I just read and where we're picking up here. It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. Let me just mention here that the betrothal is, in a way, it can be compared somewhat to an engagement to be married in our society, but it was a much more binding kind of contract and covenant between the two parties that were to be married. It was almost, if you will, it was almost like the a part of the wedding ceremony. Joseph and Mary, or Mary was betrothed to Joseph to be wedded to him. But if you read elsewhere, the scripture says that an angel appeared to Joseph and told him not to worry and not to be afraid to take Mary as his betrothed one, because that the child that she was carrying was to be the Son of God. And this must have been very difficult for Joseph, but he readily accepted what the angel said, and he accepted Mary, and they continued to look forward to that time when they would actually be married. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria, so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea. If you look at a map of Israel at that time, you realize that Nazareth, where they were living, Nazareth was up in the northern part of Israel, close to the Sea of Galilee. And Nazareth, in order for them to get to Bethlehem, they needed to travel through the rest of Galilee and then to either bypass Samaria or to go through a part of Samaria, and then they would get into what is known as Judea. And Judea is not only where Bethlehem was, but if you do the other reading along this, Mary's cousin, I believe it probably was, Mary's cousin was Elizabeth. Elizabeth was married to Zechariah. And if you remember, Zechariah was struck dumb so that he couldn't speak because he doubted when the angel told him that his wife was going to have a son and he would be a very special child. That became, their son became John the Baptist, as we know him. But they lived in Judea as well, in the hill country. And so it was that while they were there, that is in Bethlehem, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, or swaddling cloths, actually, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Most everybody that's familiar with the Christmas story knows that Jesus was born in a stable, and that he was laid in a manger, and they know that there was no room for them in the inn, but there's much more to that when we find out some of the tradition that went into what it says here. She wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger. The swaddling cloths were actually narrow strips of fabric that were used to wrap around the baby to help the baby to feel more confined and more restricted. The theory was that since the baby had been in the womb for 9 months, normally, that the baby was in a very confined atmosphere or environment, and that this would help to not only restrict the baby's movement, but it would also be somewhat comforting to the baby, and it would be to everybody's benefit. Let me mention something to you here. I believe, as I've read into this, I believe that it's very possible. One of the things that is said about this wrapping the baby in swaddling cloths is that this was a sign of humility. It was a sign of a lowly birth. It was a sign that parents were not wealthy. They were not well-to-do. It was almost like, if you've ever heard anything about the song that Dolly Parton made and sang about the coat of many colors, it was not something like Joseph's coat where you could be really proud of it normally, but it was something that represented the fact that it was a lot of pieces of hand-me-downs that had been put together for this purpose. And so when a child was wrapped in swaddling cloths, it was probably pieces of leftover clothing that they were wrapped in. And that is significant for not only the fact that they were humble and that they were of humble means and were not wealthy, but I ran across something else that is extremely interesting to me, something I never knew before, and that is simply that not only I did know that the so-called Passover lambs, and a lot of those needed to be a year old when they were used in the Passover ceremony during the Feast of Passover, but a lot of those lambs, in fact, all of them, came from the hills of Judea around Bethlehem. And it's very possible, I wouldn't be a bit surprised, if the field where the shepherds were watching their sheep at this time were the same fields where David used to keep the sheep. You notice that Luke called Bethlehem the city of David, but normally Bethlehem was known as the city of bread. The reason that he called it the city of David is because that's where David lived, that's where he was born and raised, and also that's the area where He took care of the sheep, and it was the place where Samuel had come and anointed David in order for him in the future to replace Saul as the king of Israel. So, in addition to this, I found out that there are some very strict guidelines for the lambs that would be considered worthy of being a Passover lamb. And one of the things that was very interesting about this is that these lambs, after they were born, especially while they were being inspected by the priest, and there were actually some shepherd priests from the tribe of Levi that watched over the sheep and made sure that the lambs met the criteria for a Passover lamb, that they had no defects, they had no broken bones, they had no deformities. And one of the ways that they ensured that, they actually used swaddling cloth for the Passover lambs. And they would wrap them in swaddling cloths in order to make sure that they didn't kick and flail around and break a bone while they were being inspected to see if they would pass the test, if they would be a Passover lamb. So Jesus, I find out that Jesus met all the requirements for becoming a Passover lamb. And we know that he was. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians that he was our Passover. He is our Passover. We finished up where it said there was no room for them in the inn. And then it tells us, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be with all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloth, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." You notice it doesn't say peace and goodwill between men, but it says peace, goodwill toward men. That God was doing something very special by sending his son to earth, and that this was going to, take away the fear of God's judgment and open up the possibility of the people being able to be reconciled to God and to be a part of the kingdom of God, to know that they were on their way to heaven. It says, "This will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see these things that have come to pass." They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying that was told them concerning this child, and all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. I want you to notice here, a lot of times I think we have misconceptions because of the fact that either the way that people have displayed their manger scenes at their homes or even at some churches, the way that the manger scenes are displayed with the wise men there. The wise men did not come at the time that Jesus was in a babe in the manger. In fact, if you remember, the wise men stopped in Jerusalem on their way to Bethlehem. They didn't know for sure where the star was going from there, and they inquired, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? We want to worship him." And so then, of course, Herod, he told them that he wanted to worship him also. What he wanted to do, obviously, was to eliminate any competition and to put him to death. But when God warned the wise men to return another way, and Herod realized that he had been tricked, then he had all of the boy babies in the area in Bethlehem proper and in the areas around Bethlehem. He had all the boy babies that were 2 years old and under put to death. So Jesus may have actually been between a year and 2 years old when the wise men were there. And another thing that I think we get mixed up on, or I've held some misconceptions, is you think of, or I've thought of, the shepherds going in the middle of the night to visit Jesus and to visit Mary and Joseph. And then if you read this carefully, you see that when they left the stable, they shared the good news and they shared what the angels had told them and how the angels had appeared to them. They shared these things with the people in Bethlehem. And if they were sharing with the people in Bethlehem, the people of Bethlehem must have been up and around. So possibly by the time that they made it to the stable and found Joseph and Mary and the baby Jesus, it was already well after dawn. And as soon as they had visited and worshiped Jesus and left there, then they were stopping to tell people what had happened and about the angel's visit, about their message, and about the birth of Christ. So all these things we need to examine the Word of God carefully and compare scriptures. It says, then it goes on to say, and when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. We'll stop there for just a moment and say that when there's been a book written by two medical doctors called None of These Diseases, And one of the things that they brought out in there was the reason, a good reason, that the Jewish faith has designated the eighth day as the time to circumcise a boy baby, is because that the eighth day is the time when the vitamin K in the bloodstream has reached its peak, and when the blood would normally clot the best, and they would have much less chance of complications. So God knew what he was doing, as he always does. So I challenge you to read the scriptures, read Matthew, that gives the account of the wise men, and also of Joseph and Mary fleeing with the young child to Egypt. And the scripture was fulfilled in that particular event, that a prophecy of Jesus said, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." And so there are many things that we may have misconceptions about, or that we may not have ever really understood. And we need to read and reread the Christmas story, and we need to find out what some of the traditions and customs were at that time. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
Happy New Year! At this time of the year, many reflect on the past year, where we are, where God wants us to be, and plan to make changes to help us move closer to the mark God has set for us. This year, ask God to examine you, show you where you need to change, and help you make those changes. With God's help, this year can be your best year ever.
Foundations of the earth and sky, you saw it all and said that it was good. The joy was set before your eyes, you knew that you